Reading as printed there in your bulletin on page 5. The fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. What does this mean? How kids spit out the words, "You're not the boss of me," to a sibling, when the basics of reality is that there are bosses over everyone. But before we can teach that to children, a dummy like me must learn it himself. But how this truth rankles me. We are not to despise or anger, but honor, serve, obey, love, and cherish not just parents, but other authorities. Other authorities is the way we've translated it since the late 20th century. I memorized the more literal and accurate parents and masters. A German scholar translates parents and lords. He says Luther said that one confessing his sin should address the pastor as "worthy, dear Lord." And he defended this as late as 1532. "You're not the boss of me," we cry. "No one tells me what to do," I say as I elbow my way into the discussion about which one of us is the greatest. Oh, how this dummy is rankled by the thought that I have authorities, masters, and lords over me. I didn't do so well with the parents thing either. I thought the fourth commandment expired once I reached 18. I really thought the fourth commandment somehow timed out. I didn't realize it was originally directed to adult Israelites who, after taking their place under the authority of the church and state, were to teach it to their kids. Boy, was I wrong. Paul set apart this commandment by saying in Ephesians 6:2 that it is the first commandment with a promise. Our large catechism sets the fourth commandment apart by devoting over three times as much space to it than either to the fifth or the sixth commandment. But our despising or even angering parents or other authorities, it's just not big enough of a deal to warrant marking our heads with ashes. I mean, it's not like we committed murder or adultery, right? In some ways, sins against the fourth commandment are more destructive than either adultery or murder because they have a systemic effect. The Large Catechism says, because this commandment is disregarded, God so fearfully punishes the world that there's no discipline, no government, no peace. In another place, it asks, why do you think the world is so full of unfaithfulness, shame, and misery, and murder? It is because everyone wishes to be his own master. Be free from all authority, care nothing for anyone, and do whatever he pleases. Judaism refers to the fourth commandment as the heaviest among the heavy commandments. In the New Testament, Jesus uses it as a trump card when he confronts the rich young man. He also criticized religious vows that defrauded parents of the care and obedience of their children. And Paul, in addition to pointing out that the fourth is the first commandment with promise, says one of the marks of the last days is people will be disobedient to parents. So how come our sin of chafing under authority rarely rates even a confession, and certainly not ashes? Yes, being under authority rankles dummies like me who chafe against the reality that we're all under someone. But the other side of the coin is that this commandment holds authorities accountable to God. God has established three realms of authority: family, church, and state. Even pagans recognize the importance of parental authority in the world. Stoic philosophy called parents second gods appeared on earth. Plato called aged parents living images of God. Aristotle demanded a godlike honoring of parents. For Luther, though, it wasn't parents in general, but the father in particular. For Luther, the office of father connected the two realms of church and state. Where the father went to church, his kids went. Which government authority the father chose to live under, his kids did too. Lucille Ball was asked in the turbulent 60s, what was happening to our country? What was missing? She said, Papa is missing. If Papa was here, he would fix it. What are Papas to do when the state is wrong, oppressive, and fails to do what God established it for? Luther said, other than against God, I cannot commit a greater sin than to sin against a power instituted by Him. Luther believed to rebel against tyrannical authorities to be a sign of a lack of patience and confidence that God rules even when He does not seem to keep a tight rein on things. Now that is what I believe, taught, and confessed in the face of the state not doing its duty to bear the sword to protect innocent life. That's what I've done in the face of the state legalizing the taking of innocent life in the womb. That's what I've done in the face of the state taxing me to pay for it. I now believe that Luther would have considered the state to have stepped over a God-given line at that last point. He thought an insurrection where authorities ruined the divine, he thought an insurrection against tyrannical authorities, which might become violent, he admitted, is mandated, where authorities ruin the divine institutions of church, family, or state by demolishing marriage and family or secular and spiritual authority. So, Papa, is it time to take up the sword now that the government has sanctioned a definition of marriage contrary to God and even common sense? Is it time to take up the sword against the powers that be because they are making families with two daddies and mommies and placing children into them? Is it time to take up the sword now that the state has decided that preaching against the sin of homosexuality is racism? Is it time to take up the sword, fellow Papas, now that the federal government has taken away the state's government's power to regulate marriage? No. No. On Ash Wednesday, the first thing to think about is your great and grievous sins against the fourth commandment. Think about your failures as Papas, my failures as Papa, pastor, and person. Confess our sins first and foremost, not the sins of others. Confess our sins first and receive absolution for them so that we may deal with this reality that those who are the boss of us are making the world increasingly difficult for Christians to live in. It's as if we're fish and they are draining the pond. But should that really surprise us? Government is never portrayed in Scripture as anything but a beast, an animal, a predator, who is often used as a tool of Satan, but never slips the leash of God Almighty, not even in these dark days. It's only in the forgiveness of our sins, the removal of our ashes, that we'll be able to face and deal with the potential burning to ashes of the Christian civilization that has existed for almost 2,000 years. First, we recall that the Father's commission to His Son in Psalm 110 is to rule in the midst of your enemies. And the Good Shepherd's promise to us in Psalm 23 is that He prepares a table for us in the midst of our enemies. Second, recall that in the reading tonight, when dummies like us, that's the apostles, got sideways on this issue of authority, Jesus smacks them on the snout like recalcitrant puppies. They're thinking like pagan kings who pretend they're doing everything for the people's good while they're really exerting authority down against them. Sound familiar? There's only one ultimate authority in church and home or state, and that's God. And He was at that table in that reading in service to them, to us, to all dummies everywhere. And the sufferings and betrayal He just told them He was about to undergo wouldn't stop His will from being done, would not stop His kingdom from coming, would not stop their sins from being forgiven. In fact, all the evil about to be done to Him by church and state would ensure that His kingdom would come to sinners and they would be forgiven. Do not be mistaken. Christ is betrayed by unbelief and those who have no respect for God's authority and so refuse either to be under the bosses He has put over them or to exercise authority on His behalf. These are described by Jude. They have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These men are hidden reefs in your love feasts, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. They aren't to be praised as doing their part in God's plan, but they aren't to be feared either. Who fears clouds without water? The part of Judas in rebelling against his Lord's authority and the part of the church leaders wrongly using their authority is only evil. They intend to betray Jesus to judgment by the state in order to put Him to death for crimes He did not do. And they are doing these things to preserve their authority that they are misusing. That is their intention. But what they are ultimately doing is betraying Jesus to atonement, to redemption, to salvation. Not His, but ours. God the Father gives His only beloved Son into the authority and power of sinners and Satan. And God the Son willingly goes because that's what our rebellion against the bosses over us and our failure to exercise our God-given authority deserve. Jesus never sinned against authority. He always did what He was told cheerfully, willingly. Yet tonight we see Him take His first steps down the path where all the exposure, all the judging, all the pain you know you deserve will be suffered by Him in your place. He knows all this is before Him. He knows the death that He will die, without mercy, damned to hell, abandoned by God. So why? Why does He say He eagerly desires to eat this Passover with Him before He suffers? Because this is the Passover after which He institutes the meal in which He gives His body for bread and His blood for wine to forgive us our sins. But there is more. Eating and drinking at the King's table means we share in His kingdom and are given the authority to judge sin, death, and devil. And I judge that none of these, whether springing from my fallen body or coming upon me from the fallen church or state, shall separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus my Lord. It is time to despair. Time to despair of ourselves. Time to despair of our government. Time to despair of our synod. These have been and always will be ashes to ashes. But there is no time ever, not even on the night Jesus is betrayed, to despair of God's authority to protect and provide for His people. Why? Because it was on this very night that He was betrayed that He told His disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Now, if He could say that then, I can, in His name, say it to you and even to dummies now. Amen.